Number 15, as we continue our series on living by biblical principle. Of course, the title up there is How to Know Right from Wrong, or How to Decide Right from Wrong. And we're going to get right into it tonight. We're looking tonight at another principle that we're going to add. Last week, we spent a lot of time reviewing. We'll look at 5 or 6, 7, we're going to have a number of passages of Scripture tonight. Let me just remind us of one thing, and that is this. Well, before you leave this series, you'll know what is a principle. What is a principle? A Bible truth I must live by. From that, we're forming what? Convictions. Convictions in our own life. Convictions, personal belief based on a Bible principle. Why do we do what we do? Because of the Bible, right? We root what we do from the Word of God, okay? And then number 3, standards are guidelines which help us to keep our convictions, okay? So we review that a little bit. We're diving right into another principle, the principle of association. The principle of association. We're in 1 Corinthians 15, and I want you to look at verse number 33. Now, again, we have a number of scriptures we're going to look at tonight. I hope you'll follow with me. Actually, this is a very basic, simple message, but I hope you'll look at the Word of God because we want to see what it has to say. 1 Corinthians 15, 33, the Bible says this, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." Evil communications corrupt good manners. Literally, that means evil companions corrupt good morals. How many of you have ever had a bad apple in a refrigerator outside in a bag of apples? Let me see your hand. You ever seen a rotten apple? Okay. How many of you have ever taken a rotten apple and attempted to put it in with good apples, thinking that the good apples will make the bad apple good? Anybody done that? No. Why? Because we know that a bad apple is going to rot more than it maybe already is, and it will affect the good apples. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Turn with me to Proverbs 13 and verse number 20. Again, our outline for this series has been to give you the principle and to first look at what does it say from the Word of God. What does the Bible teach as we look at this principle? And the goal is for us to live our lives based on what the Bible says. Again, we know that there are clear commands in the Word of God. When there is a command, we obey the command. We know there are examples in the Word of God. We know that there are promises in the Word of God. But often, we look at challenges that we face and we wonder, do I do this or not? For instance, the Bible doesn't list the people that should be your friends by name. Pete and Richard and don't hang around Jim and Steve. Of course, these are no people that we know of, all right? The Bible doesn't tell us that. God gave us timeless principles that last throughout all generations, okay? And we're basing what we do on the principles of the Word of God. Now, here's another verse that helps us understand the principle of association. Proverbs 13 and verse 20. "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." All right, the admonition is what? It's to hang around people that are wise. Hang around people that are going to help you spiritually. Let's look at Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22 is a very powerful verse, and I don't think sometimes we realize what the Scripture says here when it comes to those individuals that we might associate with. Proverbs 22, verse 24 says this, "Make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man thou shalt not go. Why? Lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul." So the Scripture admonishes us what? When it comes to our association, people we hang around, make no friendship with an angry man, an angry individual. Often, it's interesting, often anger is linked to bitterness. Bitterness comes from what? It comes from hurt. Comes from in our life. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, a root of bitterness springs up. And what does a root of bitterness do? It defiles, and it doesn't just defile the individual that's bitter, it defiles many others. And we see an angry person, and we have to recognize that that anger is rooted in bitterness, and that bitterness will affect, will defile other individuals. And so the scripture tells us here, don't, your close friends, don't make it, by the way, let me say this, if you have an anger issue, you want to get that thing settled.
Incoming.
You want to get that thing settled. Why? Because that will affect other people. It'll affect your wife. It'll affect your children. And we think about it, that's a powerful admonition that we read in the book of Proverbs. And again, it has to do with our associations, the people that we might hang around. Proverbs chapter 1. Turn there. Proverbs chapter 1. And I want you to look at what we see in verse number 10. Proverbs 1 and verse number 10. Actually, let's start in verse number 8. Proverbs 1, 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. All right, young people, your parents have been given to you by God to help you, to keep you out of trouble. And then here's the admonition. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us wait, lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. It gives a description of here's what they're going to ask you to do. My son, verse 15, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and make haste to shed blood. Your friend, someone said, can determine your future. Who you hang around can influence you, and they're going to influence you positively, they're going to influence you for the Lord and for what's right, or they're going to influence you negatively against maybe the Lord and against what is right. Be careful with your associations. And then Proverbs chapter number 2, and you know what, I'm giving all these to you, and you're like, why isn't he pushing the buttons? Because he done forgot, all right? Here you go right here. Look at that. Nice. Boom, boom. Isn't that beautiful on that nice screen? And praise the Lord for our nice projector here that he's provided. God's good, I tell you that. And there you have the verses there with the admonition that I pulled out. And then number 5 here, Proverbs 2, verse 10 through 20. And again, this has the exact same idea. This has to do with the strange woman. To deliver thee, verse 16, Proverbs 2, from the strange woman. Why? Because there will be an influence. She will take you down. Verse 20, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. Verse 18, her house inclineth unto death. And so it is important who we associate with, who we hang around, who our friends are. And I think it's really important who your close friends are. Do you know there are people that you can find that will tell you anything you want to hear? I mean, you say, hey, I want to go out and do damage. You can find people that will tell you that. I remember one time I was working a job, and the boss asked me, it was just little part-time stuff after school, and we worked from 3 to 5 or 6, and the boss said, can you stay till 8? And in my mind, I'm thinking, no way, Jose, I don't want to do that. Oh, no. I said, well, I better check with my mom. And so I called my mom, and I phrased it just like this, and you've done this before too. Hey, Mom, the boss wants me to stay till 8, but I can't do that, can I? No, you sure can't. Okay, thanks. We phrase it, right? Hey, our association. But I'm going to tell you this. You ought to hang around people that are going to kind of challenge you a little bit. That are going to challenge you in the things of the Lord. Do you know most people don't gravitate around too many people that are much higher than them spiritually because it makes them feel uncomfortable. And we don't want to feel uncomfortable, do we? Our associations are important. The people you hang around, your friends, are important. Now, what does this mean? I want to show you three passages of Scripture, three stories that I hope you're familiar with as we, again, build upon this principle of association. Will you turn to 1 Kings chapter number 12? 1 Kings chapter 12, and our next three thoughts come from stories in the Word of God that we'll look at as we look at association affects thinking. My association affects my thinking, who I hang around, who I get counsel from. It affects me. 1 Kings chapter number 12, and I'll begin reading as soon as I find it in verse number 6. 1 Kings chapter 12 and verse number 6. The Bible says this. And actually, let me just start at verse 1 and get you the story. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. And it came to pass, when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt, that they sent and called him. And Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, Thy father, Rehoboam being the new king there, made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father, and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. Okay, we'll serve you if you'll take it a little bit easy on us. And he said unto them, Depart yet for 3 days, then come again to me. And the people departed. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, How do you advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, If thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and will serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. So he counseled with the old men. And he says, Hey, what do you think? And he says, Be a servant unto them, and they'll serve you. But he forsook, verse 8, the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, which stood before him. And he said unto them, What counsel give ye that we may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, Make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter? And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, Thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, Thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now, whereas my father did lade you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father has chastened you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam, and the third day, and the king had appointed, saying, Come to me again the third day. And the king answered the people roughly, and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him, and spake to them after the counsel of the young men, My father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. My father also chastened you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Therefore the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was from the Lord, that he might perform his saying which the Lord spake. And what happens? We see that the kingdom is divided. The kingdom is divided. Why? Because Rehoboam listened to the counsel of the young men. We don't have a lot of time to go into any of these stories, but I want us to see, and you can study this out, and you will see that association affects our thinking. Who you counsel with, who you associate with, will help to form you. It will help to affect how you think, how you see individuals. You ever have someone come to you and they're negative about another individual? And sometimes the tendency is for you to say this, Wow, I can't believe they were like that. And then what happens? We take that negativity with us, and now we see that individual. We say, Oh, here is this individual. Wow, this individual is bad. Why are they bad? Because somebody told me they were. Do you know there's two sides to every story? There's probably three sides. My side, your side, and God's side, or the right side. And you know, who I associate with affects my thinking. It affects how I view life and how I view other people. And of course, we see that illustrated in this story. Story number two, association affects our action. Turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 22. Again, this is another story that you're familiar with. The Gospel of Luke and chapter number 22. And we're going to read the story concerning Peter. We know Peter spent time with the Lord. He spent the years that Christ was on earth. He spent that time with him. And Peter comes to, they take Jesus away. And here Peter is, kind of following the Lord afar off, but kind of has surrounded himself with, he didn't run like the others, but he's around a group of individuals that were not God-fearing. And they took them, verse 54, and led him and brought him to the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. A certain maid beheld him, sat by the fire, and looked upon him and said, "This man also was with him." And he denied, saying, "Woman, I know him not." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "Thou art also of them." And Peter said, "Man, I'm not." And about the space of 1 hour after, another confirmed, confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately while he spake, the cock crew, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter, verse 62, went out and wept bitterly. What do we see here? We see Peter associating or hanging around. Not really. I mean, he's kind of following the Lord afar off, but he's with a group of individuals that didn't love the Lord. And here Peter, and we know the story, he denies the Lord three times. I wonder how many of God's people have denied the Lord in their testimony or refused to speak up and speak out for the Lord because of the crowd that they were with. You see, my association not just affects my thinking, but it affects my action. I wonder how many young people have or were pressured into doing something that they didn't want to do, or doing something that wasn't right because of the association, the people that they were with.
Fire in the hole.
It's important for us to have associations that are godly, that are right. Because why? Because it affects our actions. Now I want you to go back to the Old Testament, and I want you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 22. And I want you to see, thirdly, as we look at this matter of our associations, I want you to see another story in 1 Samuel 22. Now this is an interesting story, and you have to obviously look at this from the perception of Saul. Now we know that Saul was off. We know David killed Goliath, and from that, Saul began to be jealous. And Saul kind of made it his life purpose to kill David. And so Saul began to go after David and to pursue David. And we find David in 1 Samuel 22. Let me just summarize here a little bit. And David is with the priest here. He comes to the priest and he asks the priest for some help. And let's look at verse 6, 1 Samuel 22 and verse 6. When Saul heard that David was discovered and the men that were with him, now Saul abode in Gibeah under a tree in Ramah, having his spear in his hand, and his servants were standing with him. Then Saul said unto his servants that stood about him, "Hear now, you Benjamites, let's go to verse 9. And then answered Doeg the Edomite, which was set over the servants of Saul, and said, "I saw the son of Jesse come to Nob, to Ahimelech, the son of Atub, and he inquired of the Lord for him, and gave him victuals, and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine." Now you remember when David was fleeing from Saul, he went here to the priest. The priest didn't know all what was going on, and David asked for food, and they gave him the sword of Goliath. I want you to see this from Saul's perspective. And we know Saul's perspective is skewed. By the way, sometimes in people's minds, perception is reality. Don't allow yourself to go down that path, okay? Perception isn't really reality. Sometimes we equate the two, and really it isn't. But Saul says, okay, so here's this priest that helped David, and David is the enemy. Verse 11, then the king sent to call Ahimelech, the priest, the son of Atub, and his father's house, the priests that were in Nob, and they came all of them to the king. And Saul said, verse 12, 1 Samuel 22, "Hear now." And he answered, said, "Here am I, my lord." And Saul said unto him, "Why have ye conspired against me, thou and the son of Jesse, in that thou hast given him bread and a sword, and hast inquired of God for him, that he should rise against me to lie in wait as at this day?" Now, Saul puts them together. And he sees this priest is helping him, and now it affects the priest's reputation. What I want us to see is, as we're looking at association, he says, okay, you're on the side of David, David's my enemy, and really he doesn't know what's going on. And what does he do? We know it's a tragedy. He explains himself in verse 14. In verse 16, the king said, "Thou shalt surely die, thou and thy father's house." And the king says to the footmen, "Slay these priests of the Lord." In verse 18, "Doeg, thou fall upon the priest." And he fell upon the priest and slew on that day 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod. Now you know the story, but we think, wow. 85. You say, whoa, this is a big deal. Why did he kill him? He killed him because David's association that they thought that he had. And he didn't understand the whole story. But I say all that to say, and we look at this story to say what? Who you hang around, your association will affect not just how you think, not just your actions and where you go and what you do, but it also will affect your reputation. Remember years ago when I first entered in the ministry, I sat down with a preacher friend of mine, and we hadn't seen each other for some time, and he said this. Actually, we weren't really even that good of friends at that time. That's what it was, because we were getting to know each other. And he said this to me. He said, and I didn't understand why he asked the question, but he said, "Tell me something. Now you'll understand if someone asks you, maybe this is what they're thinking. It could be that they were just small talking." But he said, "Tell me something. Who are your close friends in the ministry?" I sat and answered him a few questions, and maybe he was just small talking, but maybe he was trying to understand me a little bit by my friends, by the people that I hung around. I tell you this, if your friends go out and they drink at the bar and live loose, you know what? And you say, "Oh, these are my close friends." Again, we're not talking about acquaintances. We're not talking about family members. We're talking about counsel. We're talking about the people that, hey, people are going to think, "Well, I wonder if you do that." Our associations. Number three, and lastly, let's look at this as we bring this to our own selves. As we make application, as we seek to set up standards in our own life, let's ask ourselves 4 or 5 questions by way of application, and we'll have prayer and we'll partake of the Lord's Supper. Do I correct wrong thinking? You say, what do you mean by that? Well, it starts with correcting my wrong thinking. How many of you are right? You always have been right. You always will be right. Let me see your hand. Do you know sometimes some of us live like we believe that? Sometimes I got an idea, it's a great idea, it's a good idea. Somebody else challenges the idea, and you say, my idea is a great idea, it's a good idea. Now somebody else says, hey, I think it's a bad idea. What's wrong with you thinking my idea is a bad idea? Maybe your idea is a bad idea. It starts with correcting wrong thinking in me. It also continues in correcting wrong thinking in others around us. Do you know you can help other people that might be negative? Somebody say, hey, the Bible says God daily loads us with benefits. And I know we need validation and we need people to love us and care about us. And I know there's a fine balance with someone saying, oh, my leg hurts. And you say, I'm sorry your leg hurts. I'm going to pray for you. Rather than you going, well, God's good, sister or brother. And you ought to be thankful you have a leg. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's a balance there, okay? There's a balance there as we think about this. But sometimes somebody comes to you, they say something about something or the day or God. People talk bad about God all the time. And you can say to them, hey, I know you're having a rough day and I'm really sorry you're having a rough day, but God loves you. And God's good. You see, we got to correct wrong thinking in other individuals. And sometimes people that have bitterness or anger issues will come to you for validation or come to you and affect your thinking. You don't want somebody to think bad about God, do you? You don't want somebody to think, yeah, God's given him a bad deal. Boy, maybe God's given me a bad deal. We think about this when it comes to association. Number two, do I stand for right? Do I take a stand for right? Again, we talked about young people that would be pressured to do something against their conscience, against the Lord and the things of God. We need boldness to take a stand for right. We need to live in light of eternity and the fact that someday I'm going to stand before God. Do you know there's a lot of sins that wouldn't happen in the face of other people? A lot of young people wouldn't get themselves into the trouble they get themselves in if mom and dad were following them everywhere they went. That's why we encourage folks to set up accountability and have accountability partners when it comes to the internet and all these things that are at our fingertips. But if we lived in light of the fact that God sees and knows everything and He's the one we're going to stand before, I think it'll help us to have the courage we need to take a stand for and to do what's right. So we got to ask ourselves this question. Number three, a couple more. Do I avoid wrong influences? You know, there are things in your life that help you and things that don't. There are people in your life that help you, and there are people in your life that don't. Now, I'm not saying that you should walk up to them and say, let me tell you something. You're a stinking, rotten, filthy sinner, and I ain't talking to you anymore because the preacher said you're a bad influence. I'm not talking about that. But I am saying we need to recognize if this individual is not a good influence in my life, I have to recognize that. And I need to say, hey, I tell you, if you really want to get rid of them, I tell you this, you just get on fire for God. You're with that individual and you say, hey, excuse me just a minute, we're having lunch. Hey, I'm going to get up. I was with Charlie Kitchell once in a restaurant, and Brother Kitchell had to give everybody in the whole restaurant a gospel tract. And it was early in my getting to know him, and I wasn't necessarily bothered. I was a little bit like, whoa, this guy's like bold. But I tell you that, you get on fire for God, you say, I'm going to live for God and pass out tracts. You know what? These individuals that might be a bad influence are going to find somebody else or they're going to get right with the Lord. Maybe you can win them to Jesus if they're not saved. Amen? All right, and that goes to number four. Do I influence others for right? Do I seek godly counsel as we think about the people that we hang around? Let me say this. You're a young person. Your parents say, hey, I don't think you ought to hang around this person. You probably ought not hang around this person. Godly counsel. And I'll tell you, sometimes we're you ever struggle with pride? Sometimes we can be prideful. Again, that's why we think our ways are right and nobody else's. You know, sometimes we miss it. When it comes to this matter of godly counsel, how many of you have all the answers for all the problems in life? No. Okay, nobody. Not even Pastor Drew. How about that, huh? We need godly counsel. And the multitude of counselors, there's safety. And we need individuals that aren't going to necessarily tell us what we want to hear, but they're going to tell us what's right. They're going to tell us what the Bible says. And even though I don't know if I want to hear it, if my heart is, God, I want your will, and I want to do what's right, and I want to have the impact you want me to have, then go ahead and tell me. I've had people say, I know what you're going to tell me. You know, counseling is just taking people to the truth. A lot of times, people already know, I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me the Bible says this. Yeah, it does. And the issue is, am I going to obey the Bible or not obey the Bible? But we don't want to find somebody that's going to tell me what I want to hear. We want to find somebody that's godly, that's going to point me to the Lord and to the truth of the Word of God. The principle of association, who you hang around, will affect who you are, what you do, and what other people say about you. I hope you have good influences in your life tonight. Let's bow for prayer.